Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
I can't believe I'm going to say this one out loud, but here goes. The socialists got it right? Again? Zoran Mamdani, America's most hated politician. Or beloved, depending on who you ask. The socialist mayor of New York has now banned the use of AI for students up until the 8th grade. If a socialist does a good thing, you still have to give him credit for it? Yeah, you know, you still do.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, everyone. We're here for Public Forum. Public Forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
All right, we'll go back to case 2026-8-CU, Walmart Stores East, represented by Shahzad Mahmood, 3700 block of Gulf Breeze Parkway. It's in a planned business district. It's a conditional use request to allow public and private utilities, specifically a telecommunications tower within a PBD.
My name's Shahzad Mahmood. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak in front of you all today. I work with Kim Lee Horn. Kim Lee Horn was hired by SBA Communications as well as Walmart as a result of a need that they found for wireless communications coverage and capacity.
All right. So we're going to put a 150-foot tower in the backyard of the Tiger Point Walmart in the dry area just directly south of the Walmart as opposed to the wet area that's behind the Lowe's. It's going to serve Verizon and other cell phone companies. It's not going to be a powered radio tower. It's not going to, you know, harm your health or anything like that. The cell tower. Well, what about the cell tower in your hand? It's funny what people get worked up about. Okay. So in anticipation of people being upset after Shahzad Mahmood gave his presentation explaining how it's in the zoning, it fits. It's built to withstand 160 miles an hour, which is a Category 5 storm. I mean, it's built to withstand a full Cat 4. Cat 5 starts at 157. You know, if you got a Category 5 storm, the houses are flying faster than the tower is, and even if it does fall, it'll fall right upon itself because of the way that it's designed. They've done studies and no impact on the property values, which people complain about. The real issue is that it's going to be, you know, cell phone service, which is in high demand and is a scarcity. And 911 and first responders depend on it because people have, you know, cell phones, not landlines. And people want to use the cell phone for data or whatever at the Walmart. And one of the problems is that when you get a lot of people in one area, like around a Walmart, I know this from the Creighton Walmart discussion of a cell tower, you know, it's low coverage. It's bad. And so they're trying to fix that. So, you know, there's going to be a very small footprint of this thing, like 6x8. In the dry retention pond, it's a very small footprint when it comes to interfering with the storm power, stormwater potential of that. But dry pond, again, which means that most of the time it never even sees water. All right, so it's a hard thing to find. This is all stuff that Shahzad had presented in his presentation. You know, it's a hard thing to find a willing landlord like Walmart, zoning that allows it with the setbacks and the height, and they have both in this particular case. So the people are there that are upset because they don't want it in their backyard. I mean, they want the cell service, you know. They don't want the thing in their backyard. You know, they want Facebook and YouTube and, you know, they want what the data center does. They just don't want the data center. You know, right? It's a basic problem. We want the benefits of the infrastructure. We just don't want to live next to the infrastructure. Okay. So, and it is important. I'll just say this for clarification's sake. I mentioned a moment ago. I know most people don't necessarily understand the difference between a powered and a non-powered tower. A power tower is the one that's actually sending out a signal like AM 1620, okay, or FM 98.7, our sister station. These are towers where, you know, you touch them and you die. Like, and that produces an effect in the vicinity that can do all kinds of weird things to, you know, possibly your health, to like it can interfere with your stereo and your phone lines and stuff like that. I know because I lived next to a FM tower one time and, you know, it had effects, okay? This is not that. This is just, you know, metal poles that don't have power going to them. Up on the top of those metal poles, there's going to be a cell tower, a cell service site. And, you know, of course that has power, but, you know, not particularly high power of the sort that you might be worried about. Anyway, but people see a tower, they don't know a lot, they think, ah, terrifying. Well, you know, most of them are not powered. Okay, our you know, FM 92.3 is on one of these kinds of towers. The tower itself, you can touch it, no problem. But the, you know, the broadcasting antenna that's on top of that tower, you know, is still fairly low power. I think it's like 250 watts, if I remember correctly. So just a very small scale repeater. Anyway, so the people are there, they're upset. They don't want this going in near them. And Colton Wright starts off by kind of, I thought, wisely anticipating their frustration and not wanting to sit through an hour of people complaining before they get what the board is likely to do, says,
"We'll provide a couple comments, and then if we want to have some public input, we can certainly do so. I'm just going to up front state that I'm opposed to the project, but there's a reason. Hold on. You may not like everything I have to say."
Yeah, that's right.
"I'm opposed to the project, not because of the concerns that have been brought, because I truly don't believe it presents any flooding concerns at this particular location. And I say that for a number of reasons, but after the torrential downpour today, I actually went out and took video and took some photos of the dry pond. Well, there's very little water in the dry pond. There was very little water in the dry pond. And if anyone walked out into it and measured it, they were trespassing."
Right. And I mean, he went and he looked and he said there was nothing there. And that's the nature of a dry pond, is only in the most, you know, the biggest of storms, right? And this, again, is the dry part, not the wet part.
"I don't believe the facility, as the engineering plans show, present a flooding problem at all.
It's only a very small, it'll be a 6x8 portion of that dry pond. So 50 square feet of difference in terms of stormwater mitigation. Nothing. A no effect. A shed. In terms of footprint, okay, that's designed to withstand 160 mile an hour winds, right? All of it.
I appreciate the petition. However, I think it's dangerous when there's petitions that are made, they're put together where people signing them are from Milton and from the city of Gulf Breeze and from Navarre and people that aren't directly affected. It doesn't help present a case unless it's specifically the people that are directly impacted.
By the way, I agree with that. You know, typically if somebody from 30 miles away is signing a petition and they don't live within, you know, let's say a half mile of the thing, who cares what they think? You got 50,000 signatures on a petition. Well, where do they live? You know, right? This is not an issue that the folks in Jay should care about, you know, unless they go to Tiger Point a lot, in which case they should care about the cell service primarily. Anyway,
I do wish the applicant had maybe reached out to me and possibly reached out to the county about trying to find some other possible locations, because I think there probably would have been some other opportunities.
So we'll come back to this in just a second to see where the board goes on this. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, State Road 97 and County Road 4 in McDavid. Use caution through that area. If you see anything else, 437-1620. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. By the way, the applicant had said that the current water tower that has a lot of antennas on it right there across the street from the Walmart, you know, up the road to Garcon Point, that's full. Like, they'd have to re-engineer that tower to be able to handle any more load, and, I mean, that's way beyond cost prohibitive. So they're looking for locations, and they just haven't been able to find any good ones. So Colton Wright, again, who is functioning as the chair of the zoning board at this point, but it's basically the county commission sitting as the zoning board.
"I do think that no matter where you wanted to put a tower, you're going to have pushback from people that just don't want it near them.
Right.
That's a fact. And I've had someone tell me they're going to see the tower and it's going to affect their property value, and they're 2,210 feet away. And
a half mile away, and they're going to be bothered in their view by a 150-foot tower. Okay.
There's no way that they can see that, because if they can see the proposed tower, they also be able to see the water tower across the street. So when I look at the facts, those facts don't hold water, in my opinion.
And this is common enough. When the sort of public gets hold of an idea, they get worried about it, and they'll show up with, as we talked about with the Navarre Beach Boardwalk thing. You know, people just get worked up, and they'll find any conclusion to justify their opinion. It's like you see at the Escambia County Commission meeting, or the planning board in Escambia County talking about the OLFA. This is a common problem, is the mob, you know, shows up partially informed, sometimes well-informed, but a lot of times partially informed. And when somebody's arguing for their side and making a terrible argument, either bad evidence, bad facts, false facts, bad reasoning, irrationality, or whatever. It doesn't matter. As long as they were on their side, they cheer them. I'm like, no, 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 don't reward that. That's not helping. That's hurting your cause. That makes your cause look bad. And when you make weak arguments for a cause you want me to take seriously, or the reasonable people on the Santa Rosa County Commission to take seriously, it actually makes us go the other way. Because I think, well, if you had good arguments, you'd make them. And since you're making bad ones, it means you must not have the good ones. So he's saying, look, the arguments I've heard are not good ones. But there is one thing that gives me pause.
However, I think it sets a really bad precedent for the county to say, hey, we can start building towers or any other type of structures in stormwater retention areas, whether they be dry ponds, wet ponds, what have you. I just think it opens the door in a way that just, to me, doesn't logically make sense. So that's where I stand on it. I just want to put that out there right at the beginning. If you gentlemen have any comments or we want to hear from the public, I certainly don't want to keep anyone from speaking. So you're welcome to come up with a time and speak. But I'm just, as a district commissioner, I don't support it. But that's my sole reason for not supporting it.
Hey, if you want to talk yourself out of a win, keep talking. Otherwise, you know, go home. You win. I do not agree with him about this. Every case is going to be unique. You're not creating a right for somebody else, you know, to do this. And putting these things in dry ponds is actually a pretty good use of dry pond area. I mean, a lot of towers are in retention ponds, wet and dry. And, like, where else would you put them? It's land that's not used. It's buffered from other people by the distance of the land. As far as the backyard goes, the folks who live right next to it, well, you already look at the Walmart. It's not the most scenic thing to begin with. But, you know, anyway, so Bobby Burkett, and so I don't agree with Colton on this reason not to do it. I just don't think, he may have another piece of land in mind where they're going to solve this problem, maybe. But, you know, time will tell, right? Bobby Burkett, county commissioner.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I guess my old code enforcement days is coming back. I spend untold number of hours, numerous times, running people out of holding ponds for this, not for cell towers, but for intrusion into the holding ponds. They're not designed for anything there, so I'm right there with you. I oppose it for this reason. I just don't believe it's the best place for it. I think they can find a better location. That's just where I stand at it.
What does that have to do with anything? You run people out of, okay, whatever. Ray Eddington, never one to not jump on a bandwagon.
Chairman, I'm on board with you. A holding pond is for water, not concrete and stuff. That's where I look at it.
It's 50 square feet of concrete on a giant dry pond. It's okay. I mean, but, you know, once you cave, you know, might as well have your say. Kerry Smith, District 2.
Well, I'm willing to follow the lead of the district commissioner. I mean, I'm just saying, if we're going to listen to a lot of people opposing it, I think that would be counterproductive. So if you're willing to make that motion.
Yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and put it out there for everyone. If you guys feel like you still want to state your case, I mean, I'm willing to make a motion to deny it right now, but I just don't want people to feel like we're not listening to you. We each have our own opinions on why it shouldn't happen. In that case, I'll make a motion without objection to deny. See no objection. So moved. So if you will reach out at a later date, I think we can probably explore some other options that may be good for all the residents.
All right, now we'll put it in somebody else's backyard. Well, Andrew, would you want it in your backyard? I mean, if I lived next to a Walmart, I wouldn't have a great reason to object. But even so, there's several towers I can see from my neighborhood. You know, we live next to big power lines, not right next to, you know, because I'm worried that there's a health effect from being too close to them, but we live close to them. In fact, I live right next to a big, FPL, not Gulf Power, FPL substation, which I love. What? Yeah, it's fantastic, because if there's a hurricane and there's power out, we get it back right away. You know, in Sally, we had the power back on very quickly. So we have this idea, like, everybody wants the benefits of the infrastructure and nobody's willing to pay the price of having the infrastructure near them. NIMBYism is alive and well in America, you know? I think of, like, when I used to fly. I don't fly very often, but I remember when I used to fly and, you know, fly. I had kids, and that's relevant. And I'd get on a plane and, you know, there'd be a screaming baby or just an unhappy baby or whatever, the kind of thing that irritates people. And I was at a point in my life where, you know, I learned how to not even care. Like, you know, you just put up with it. It's what babies do. It's fine. And, you know, I think I remember one time where, like, there was this kid and, you know, somebody was not happy. And I offered to, like, switch seats to sit next to the kid. Because why not? Take the hit. You know, whatever. It's fine. No big deal. Somebody's got to. Might as well be me. You know, so much of the time it's like somebody's got to, but it doesn't have to be me. You know, how about you go the other way once in a while? 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Nehemiah in the Old Testament is a great example of the familiar quote, pray like everything depends on God, but also work like everything depends on you. In Nehemiah 4, the people of God are rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, and they're at the halfway point. After being threatened by opposition from the north, south, east, and west, Nehemiah does two equally important things. He prays to God, and then he posts guards around Jerusalem. Nehemiah clearly believes in the power of prayer as seen throughout the book, but interestingly, he also believes in the power of personal initiative. Nehemiah believes in doing what he can to solve his own problem. Nehemiah prays fervently, like his success depends on God, but he also works diligently, like it depends on him. Ladies and gentlemen, as you pray about your problems, remember that sometimes God's answer will be to use your personal initiative to meet your need.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, it's a brother and sister country music duo and Pensacola's very own Pearl and Rafe. Pearl brings the glitter, Rafe brings the grit, and together they bring the party wherever they go. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Pearl and Rafe. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Just a quick note. Somebody says, you know, ponds are designed and engineered to carry a certain amount of water based on their size. 50, you know, 50 square feet is still 50 square feet. The pond is as big as the Walmart. 50 square feet is like one end cap on one aisle of space. And several other people are pointing out that it's actually the ideal use of a dry pond because you can't do anything else with it. And it's wasted space right now. It's much better than putting it in a wetland somewhere. Agreed. Let's see. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, State Road 97 at County Road 4 in McDavid. Use caution through that area. Also seen a slowdown Highway 29 southbound between Roberts Road and 10 Mile. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. The family of 14-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez is calling for the death penalty for singer David with a 4, though, not an A, who's been ordered to stay in trial in her killing. Rivas Hernandez's remains were found in the trunk of his Tesla last year. David with a 4's real name is David with an A, and David Anthony Burke, and apparently he's pleaded not guilty to murder and other charges. Houthi rebels launched a wave of attacks on southern Saudi Arabia Tuesday, wounding more than 70 people, sparking fires at several oil facilities. The Houthis claimed responsibility, saying the strikes were retaliation for Saudi attacks on Yemen. And a federal appeals court says the U.S. Constitution does not guarantee a right to clean drinking water. The Fifth Circuit rejected a lawsuit by Jackson, Mississippi residents who alleged the city knowingly allowed lead-contaminated water to reach residents. The court said the contamination did not violate a deeply rooted constitutional right under the 14th Amendment.
Thanks so much, David. 727 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, thrown back to the conversation about the Navarre Beach Boardwalk, somebody said on the text line, many people commented they weren't opposed to a convention center per se. They were opposed to having it in the protected marine park area. which is an argument that made sense to this person. Yeah, I would say the question is then where? You know, then where? Okay? And also, which, you know, maybe there's an answer to that, maybe there's not. But also, if you are so worried about development and it getting out of control and becoming, you know, like Destin or Panama City or they even said Pensacola Beach, maybe, just as a thought, maybe take this low intensity level of development as something much better than some actual monstrosity that it could be with a subsequent board. You know, if you build the non-ideal thing, at least you haven't built the horrible thing. Just a thought. You don't have to necessarily agree with me, but just, you know, think about that as well. 728 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can help you with that. They sold 206 homes in calendar year 2025, 270 homes in the last 12 months. And, you know, when the market was hard a couple of years ago, they had, you know, they used to sell over 200 homes a year during the heat when it was easy. And of course, they still do a great job, but, you know, like 4 a week on average. And then it dipped to like 165, 175, which is like 3 a week in 2023, 2024. Back up last year and back up even again now to 5 a week, which is the reason I say that. You say, well, they're selling so many homes. How can they possibly give me personalized attention? They're successful at selling homes for good prices quickly because they give such personalized attention, like you've got it backwards. And that proficiency gives them a level of expertise when they're dealing with all the things, photographing, pricing, staging, open housing, following up, negotiating, all of that stuff that has, it's like a formula. It produces a level of success that you just, you know, that's a very, very, very good. They're selling homes other people can't sell. 1, 2, 3, 4 realtors can't sell a home. They sell a home. So I'm not saying that you should hire Christina because I said so, but you should talk to her because I said so. She's a dear friend. I've known her for as long as we've lived here. Just give her a call and find out why her team is so effective. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 437-1620, 437-1620. I don't have time to get into all of that. Oh, President Trump says he wants to rename New Mexico as New America. Stop it. It's just, he put it like 9 different memes on social media yesterday. And then one that has all of Canada, the U.S., and Mexico as one big country with an American flag over it. Stop it. By the way, he cannot actually rename New Mexico. It takes a state amendment to the Constitution, which the people of New Mexico would have to vote on. But what next? New Hampshire? New England? New Brunswick? New York? Get rid of all these foreign influences.
News, I'm CJ Papa. Goods from Canada will cost you more.
Canada is framing new tariffs that went into effect overnight as dollar-for-dollar retaliation. They range from 50% on milk and aluminum products to 25% on cheese and seafood, all the way down to industrial equipment. U.S. tariffs on Canadian goods cover wine, hockey equipment, and cement, among other things.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff at the White House amounts to about $20 billion. Hurricane Lowell hammering Hawaii. Fox Brothers' Mike Seidel in the thick of the storm from Kalaua on the south side of Kauai.
Asphalt that's been picked up from the street and lifted over here. There's debris everywhere, rocks, boulders, trees. A storm surge of 2 to 4 feet, and that's going to start backing out.
On primary day in New Hampshire, the winners will run for a U.S. Senate in November. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 76 degrees. We'll get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3. And Brooke Richardson, that's up in just a couple of minutes. 5 people, including 2 young children, were seriously injured on Monday morning in a head-on crash south of Walnut Hill that shut down Highway 97 for several hours. Troopers say a Nissan Rogue crossed the center line, struck a southbound pickup truck head-on. Happened around 5 in the morning. Both adults and a 3-year-old from the truck were airlifted to Pensacola hospitals as trauma alerts. The Nissan's driver was also, and a passenger, were also taken for treatment. The investigation into that remains ongoing. Lenny Collins, the Marine veteran that brought the country's first permanent replica of Washington's Vietnam Veterans Memorial to Pensacola, has died. In 77, Collins was moved to create the Wall South after visiting a traveling replica back in 1987. Eventually, He raised $500,000 through community fundraisers and built it in 1992. That memorial later grew into Veterans Memorial Park. It's now home to 13 monuments, more than a million visitors over the years. Collins is survived by his wife of 57 years and two daughters. He'll be laid to rest at Barrancas National Cemetery. A 69-year-old Pensacola man has died after being hit by a car on North W Street yesterday. Troopers say he was crossing the road near the Casey's gas station there when a southbound sedan driven by a 77-year-old woman hit him. He was taken to the hospital where he later died. The driver, who was wearing her seatbelt, wasn't hurt. Troopers do say that she wasn't able to see him in time to avoid that crash. A longtime ECUA board member, Dale Perkins, has died at 64. Perkins served on the ECUA board for 32 years. He first took office all the way back in 1994. He'd chosen not to seek re-election this year. A commemorative plaque honoring his tenure was dedicated near Pensacola Beach earlier this year. Outside his public service, Perkins worked as a social worker, a substance abuse counselor, and also as a local fishing boat captain. He is survived by his daughters, his mother, and seven siblings. Well, work is set to begin on the toll booth entering Pensacola Beach next month. Demolition should start around October 11th. Commissioners say the $6.5 million Pensacola Beach Gateway project will improve traffic flow. Fees to access the beach won't be changing. The county does say the new system should ease congestion and make it easier for emergency vehicles to access the beach. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a small chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms today, 30% chance of rain, otherwise mostly sunny skies with a high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 50% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. Going into Thursday, 70% chance of rain with a high near 88 and a low near 76. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got sunshine and 76 degrees. Let's check in with PJ. He's got our traffic on the fives.
Thanks, David. Traffic brought to you by Florida West Economic Development Alliance, working to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Scambia County's tax base. Taking a look at the big board, Highway 29 southbound between Roberts Road and 10 Mile Road, seeing a little bit of a delay there. Also, US 90 from the Simpson River to about Scenic Highway, seeing a slowdown there as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And at 7:35, our next news at 8, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Canada's retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods went into effect this morning as the trade war grinds on. The tariffs target $20 billion worth of American-made products, everything from cheese and seafood to aluminum foil and toilet paper. In the latest escalation, President Trump is calling for a boycott of Canada's Bombardier jets, threatening to stop the sale of its planes that aren't made in the U.S. The trade war is one reason why, on Wall Street, futures are lower. Stocks are also being weighed down by the latest from the Middle East. Iran-backed rebels wounded more than 70 people and started fires at energy sites in new strikes on Saudi Arabia. One of the biggest decliners this morning is Novartis. Shares of the drug maker are tumbling 10% after what's been a bad week. It's had three drug trials flop. That includes a heart drug found to reduce a harmful form of cholesterol, but also found not to significantly improve patients' cardiovascular health. That's Your Money Now.
Pensacola Hardware has been serving the city's general contractors and tradesmen for 174 years. We very much appreciate our customers and are thankful to be one of the only brick-and-mortar businesses in downtown Pensacola to always offer plenty of free parking. We focus on the commercial construction trades and specialize in architectural and engineer-specified products. Whether you're an engineer, project manager, purchasing agent, or subcontractor, Pensacola Hardware is your best local source for construction supplies and exceptional product knowledge.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hey, this is Sean with HQ Barbecue and Hop Pond in Pensacola.
Hey, this is Chad Brillante, Communications Director at Career Source Escarosa.
Hi, I'm Darren Costello, owner of Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, Fine Wine and Cheeses.
What do these businesses have in common? They've trusted our years of marketing experience at ADX Communications.
When our commercials air, we notice an increase in foot traffic, successfully reaching our desired demographic.
And when it comes to reaching job seekers and employers in our community, we look to ADX Communications for digital and radio advertising. Keep up the great work.
I enjoy working with such a great team with the radio station. Dependable, professional, local, and results-driven. ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, Sports Radio Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us in studio, Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Doing great. Let's talk about some crime and incidents before we get to the two kind of, you know, big questions that we need to talk about. Number one, y'all had a fairly substantial fentanyl bust off of a traffic stop.
We did. Yeah. One of our deputies was in the Wedgwood area, saw a car that had a bad tag light on it. Couldn't see a tag. Stopped the car and we ran a canine around it. Canine Roland, who was named after one of our fallen deputies. And we found not one, but 2 kilos of fentanyl.
Okay.
And it was tested positive for fentanyl. So 2,100 grams of fentanyl. And as you know, they talk about how little fentanyl it takes to be a potentially fatal dose.
Right.
And in this situation that we calculated, it could conceivably have killed over 1 million people. That's a really substantial arrest. And we also seized $22,000. 2 people were arrested. Their names escape me right now, one of which was in the country illegally. And so once he's dealt with his trafficking and fentanyl charges, I'm assuming he'll be deported.
You know, opioid related deaths are down in the country. I haven't looked, and so I apologize for not knowing. But are local incidents down substantially, significantly? I was thinking this is part of the core. Also, we're treating, but you know, it seems to be declining.
Yes, the last figures I looked at, the EMS would have all of the numbers.
Right.
The medical examiners obviously would have those numbers. But as last I heard, they were declining the last couple of years. We were at one point the number one county in, I think, the state of Florida. Mm. And we are, as far as I could tell, we're no longer the number one state, but or the one number one county. But I will tell you that we've made fentanyl our number one priority. And we've partnered very well with the DEA and the FDLE. Because there's some grants associated with fentanyl investigations, and we certainly appreciate our partnerships, and I think it's paying dividends. As you can tell, this was a traffic stop,
right?
But man, that's a lot of fentanyl that would have been in our community, cut up obviously to make it more available to people.
You know, and I know some people who are, I would say, generally anti-law enforcement, they talk about the problem of pretextual stops, which is, you know, stopping a car for a seemingly minor thing. But, you know, man, when I've done the ride-alongs, the seemingly minor things often are what you find major things and thwart major crimes because of, right? Because, you know, criminals don't maintain their car and you pull them over for, you know, the, in this case, the light for the license plate is out and you wind up finding a massive amount of drugs, right?
That's right. Yeah. We're not forced as law enforcement officers to ignore violations just because you suspect there also might be something else in the car.
Yeah.
If you know a guy was, you know, had warrants on him, but he runs a red light, we're not forced to ignore that red light, but just because we have other information. So there's obviously proactive law enforcement that takes place. And in this case, obviously very good proactive law enforcement.
You mentioned the canine. What was the canine's name involved?
Roland.
Okay. The canine name is always on the windshield, right, of the canine units,
yes,
up in the front. Because right. I know at our church we had Streeter was out there. I'm like, oh, I know that one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
he's the jumper.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He was the famous one. He made the radio. So the other story... A fight at the Whataburger over too many pickles. What happened? This is on 29 in Kingsfield.
Yeah, apparently after the Tate High School game, some juveniles, some youths, had gathered around the Whataburger in the parking lot right next to it, and at one point there was a disturbance and one guy pulled a gun. I think the manager, as reported, the manager or someone, one of the employees, grabbed him and then they fled. So we're still looking for it. We should be ready to gather the from corporate.
The manager grabbed the guy who had drawn the gun?
That's my understanding. Yeah.
All right. Hero.
And corporate has the video, so we're going to get that today. Hopefully we can get that today, and we'll be able to sort this out and probably get the information about, first of all, if a crime was committed, if it's committed as reported.
Yeah.
And then we can figure out what takes place. But, you know, everyone says, oh, is this one of those takeovers? Well, typically those takeovers are publicized and advertised over on social media, and it's called "Come over here, let's take it over." I think that it's been my experience that teenagers, young adults, have been gathering at parking lots of restaurants since the 50s.
Yeah, right.
American graffiti.
Since there have been parking lots. Yeah.
So before that,
it was at the pond, or was it the field, or was it the barn, or was
I don't recall those times. Yeah. That's too much. Too much Andy Griffith for you, I guess.
Teenagers gather in places with each other. Have you heard? Right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a thing, and it's been a thing again since the Fonz would do it
at Al's.
Yeah,
nice, nice. Wow, you're old. I'm old enough to remember.
I am.
Fair enough. I want to talk to you about Stand Your Ground for just a second. This Walmart story. Basically, this guy is. It's a parking dispute, and he just won't let it go and deliberately comes back to this woman two different times after parking his car several miles away and comes back. And she's basically, you can see her on the video, retreating, saying, stop it, leave me alone, you know, go away. Everybody's yelling at him to stop it, leave him. And finally, she's had enough, and she shoots him in the belly. I think he's dead. Somebody texted me that I hadn't seen that report, but I think the guy died. And they didn't charge her because stand your ground, right? You do not have if somebody is threatening you, you do not have the obligation to retreat, right? Simple.
Yeah, no, I'm obviously any loss of life is tragic,
right?
But you have the right, and to me, you have the obligation to protect your family, and if you reasonably think, we talk about reasonableness all the time,
yeah,
you and I do, and if you have you reasonably believe that you or someone else is in danger, you can defend yourself. Here's the thing: when someone has a gun or they're telling you to stop. Because the consequences can be severe.
And I mean, some people, I guess the switch just gets flipped and they can't control themselves or something. But, you know, this is like, this could have taken an off-ramp 10 different ways.
Well, I think some people are just used to being bullies. Some people are used to, you're not going to hurt
you?
Me.
Yeah, how dare you talk to me that way?
I don't think you're going to do anything. You know, that don't scare me type of thing.
Well, and, it only scared him one time, you know. I mean, you know, it did not have to be this way. We're talking to Chip Simmons, Sheriff of Escambia County. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash in Roblox, Avalon Boulevard at Moores Oaks Drive in Milton. Use caution through that area. If you see anything else, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Since last week, some things have changed a little bit. You and I spent a lot of time talking because last Monday was when Governor DeSantis had made his comments about flock cameras. Then FDOT issued their instruction that within 30 days, all the flock cameras have to go away. The automated license plate readers, ALPRs, have to go away on state roads. There was a question when you and I talked on Tuesday of what you were going to do. But man, you know, once the dam broke here locally, you know, Santa Rosa said they wouldn't do it anymore. You guys said you wouldn't do it anymore. Gulf Breeze and Pensacola. So basically our 2-county area. I still haven't heard anything official from Milton, so I do not know. But do you know, has Milton made an announcement?
They may not have any.
They may not have. Oh, that's true. They may not have any. But okay, so What was the thing that changed in your mind from, you know, 7:40 a.m. last Tuesday to like 11 a.m. last Tuesday?
Well, we had a rather extensive conversation. I mentioned then that these are the things that I was contemplating. We knew we had to pull down the ones from the state. We knew that that would diminish our system. We knew that other sheriff's offices, a lot of sheriff's offices actually pulled them or either suspended them or discontinued them throughout the state. I also knew that the Florida Sheriff's Association was going to in our next legislative session, talk about some potential legislation regarding them, protections and some level of comfort for the agencies, but also for the population that we serve. And so I thought, you know what, our system is diminished because local areas aren't doing it anymore. And so, again, it starts to chip away 100% of our system, and then 66% of our system, and then 50%. So about half as effective as it would have been, and the numbers are still declining. And so I thought, you know what, why don't we put a hold on this? Why don't we suspend the use of these systems until we can get some clarity and we can get some level, again, of comfort with regards to the people that we serve? Because it matters how people think they're being policed. It matters to me, and it should matter to the community. They need to have a level of comfort with regards to that. So there's a couple things there. One, there's the privacy issue, and the courts have kind of ruled that everything I've read, they've ruled that it's constitutional. It's not. There's nothing wrong with video capturing something on a public roadway. But then there's this distrust of the company, of corporates, of what are they going to do with the information? Are they going to sell it? And then there's this, you know, are we going to be allowed to put these cameras on county roadways and state roadways? And so I say, no, I'm going to pull it, and let's see if there's a legislative remedy for this, potentially a judicial remedy for this. And then, again, most of all, a level of comfort with regards to Escambia County citizens. I will tell you, it's very I still maintain that it is the best tool that I've ever seen in law enforcement. I still think that there might be an avenue forward, and we're going to work with that. In fact, I leave next week for the legislative session, Florida Sheriff's Association, and we'll potentially learn a little bit more about what they're going to be pushing for.
You know, Sheriff Johnson yesterday said that he just thinks it's dead. He thinks, not because he prefers it that way, but he thinks that there's nobody's going to be willing to touch it and really bring it back because the public is so negative about them and the pushback is so huge. Do you think there's a chance that with reforms it gets reinstituted in Florida?
I think that you have to give the people this thought that it is, again, the businesses that we sign contracts with. There has to be a level of trust. You know, how much trust do we have in Apple versus whatever other companies, Microsoft, whatever we have? I think we say, you know what, I trust them, so I'm giving them all my information, or I give it all to my bank. We got to get to that level, or no. I don't think that we will. However, I don't think that technology is going backwards. I do not think that there's not going to be more cameras, just as there's cameras in my house, in your house, and businesses. I think that eventually those cameras will have more and more AI technology, potentially even bordering on facial recognition type of technology. So I think that there will be a use, law enforcement use, even if it's you're the victim of a crime and you provide that video to me. I just don't know if it's going to be in the same form that it was before. Now, again, you made mention last week, and I know I'm monopolizing some of your time.
That's fine. That's what we're having this conversation.
You made a conversation or the topic last week about, does it mean that there's no toll booths? Does it mean that there's no red light cameras and all that sort of thing? Those are all things
that
will be addressed.
Yeah.
And again, I think that the people have to have a level of comfort with those as well.
You know, you asked me, I thought, a really great question. I think it was last Tuesday. You said, well, what do you want? You know, what would be the rules? And, you know, since then I've had a fair amount of time to think about it. The ones I've been talking about are things like, okay, so if there's a list of license plates that are, you know, you already have warrants and investigations on, that's like the no-fly list is kind of what I think of. I don't have any problem with you retaining that information. But if somebody's not on that list, it seems like, okay, you can collect it, but it ought to flush out of the system. I don't know. I asked Eric Winstrom about this, and he said within a couple of hours is the primary use. Like if it's, you know, there are a couple of cases where older than 3 or 4 hours is not is useful, but if you kept it for, say, 4 hours, you know, that would let you do 90% of the uses you have for the license plate readers. So I would be comfortable with warrants, a very limited amount of retention of the non-identified license plates. And obviously a lot of people are concerned about the reselling of the data or the management of the data and that kind of stuff. You know, if I saw that in place, I'd probably be okay, because I see the massive crime fighting value. I do. And especially for lost kids and silver alerts and all that kind of stuff. Do those reforms seem plausible to you?
No, yes, they do. I was just contemplating some things about that, that I've heard, some complaints. One's misuse by law enforcement. And I think to your point,
which can I just, I don't, I'm not real. I mean, I don't want the rogue cop, you know, surveilling her boyfriend
right,
or whatever.
He does, right.
But I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the government itself using these cameras through cooperative or compliant law enforcement for nefarious things. I'm not worried about the one person. I'm worried about the actual people in charge making choices. That's what worries me.
Yeah, you know, let me give you like an example. We used to be able to ping phones. You know, if we're looking for someone and we knew they had a phone, we could ping them or try to find a location a little quicker. And then they changed it up some and made it obviously more restrictive. We have to get a search warrant for that, which is fine with me. I totally understand that. Unless there's an Amber Alert, you know, we could do emergency order and then we go back and we get the after the fact type of thing. I am comfortable with only using them on those crimes that reach a certain level that you
felonies,
can use them
exigent
for,
circumstances, yeah.
Forcible felonies even.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe stolen cars, but something that's at a certain level. I'm comfortable with that. I know that it would cause more work for the sheriff's office, cause more work for law enforcement, cause more work for a judge that's on duty or on call. But I think that is a level of comfort. I think that as a citizen, I would be comfortable with. The issue is going to be, how do we protect the citizens from the company itself?
Sure.
You know, but that's, how do we do that to Apple? How do we protect them from all these things? There are safeguards in place for those things and rather severe punishments if those are done. So I do think that there may be an avenue forward. I think that it's going to be a lot of curtailing of what's working. We had some rather stringent policies and procedures in place already. I talked about double authentication. We talked about retention was reduced from a year to 30 days. I can live
and now
with
seven even. I think Flock had said seven.
Days, right.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about a couple hours, to be honest with you. I think that it needs to be more effective than that. But I can certainly live with 48 hours. I can live whatever it would take. To have that level of comfort and to have this technology, I think is worth it.
You know, I really wanted to talk with you about DCF, but we're out of time, which is fine. This is I think an important topic for us to also talk about. But you are very proud of the Real-Time Crime Center,
right?
And I've seen it, you know, in use, okay, or at least in monitoring mode. You mentioned the diminishment of your ability because of the loss of the state roads, what that means for your overall network. If your real-time crime center is operating at a 100% capacity, however you define that, what capacity is it operating at now that you do not have these fixed position automatic license plate readers?
So the real-time crime center works very well with, we have other surveillance
cameras.
Sure,
lots of stuff.
They don't track tags and that sort of thing. But we also have other things. We have access to cameras in schools. So the real-time crime center itself is probably only diminished slightly, but the ability as an investigator to do a follow-up has been diminished greatly.
Okay.
And our ability to move forward with this robust technology that we had foreseen, where all of it integrates within itself to include ShotSpotter, even though that's kind of
going away,
now as well. But we're going to maintain our real-time crime center. It's still going to be certainly a benefit to the citizens of Escambia County. But again, and there may well be a way forward with some of the options that we talked about a second ago.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, appreciate you, sir. And just to be clear, in case somebody didn't catch it last week, this was not like this sudden major reversal. You had already been internally talking about this, thinking about this, debating it, and especially with the conversations, paying attention, listening to people, which I appreciate. And I want to give you credit for that. People from the outside might be like, oh, he totally caved. I mean, I don't think that's how it worked at all. And I
know
you better
than that. We've been talking about it for months, really. We just, you know, the governor obviously changed.
Excellent.
Things.
And we'll talk about DCF next week. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time and keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
PJ with Traffic on the Fives.
Taking a look at the big board, there is a vehicle crash in Roblock, Avalon Boulevard, and Moores Oaks Drive in Milton. Use caution through that area. If you see anything else, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Registration's now open for the Pensacola Beach Elks Lodge Halloween 5K and Kids Monster Dash. Halloween morning on Pensacola Beach. Gather in Flounders and run or walk the route along Via de Luna. Bring the kids for the Monster Dash. Immediately following the 5K, kids run free with a registered adult. Costumes are encouraged, and there's an after party at Flounders. Registration is $35. Proceeds go to the local Elks charities. The Pensacola Beach Elks Lodge Halloween 5K and Kids Monster Dash Halloween morning on Pensacola Beach. Register now at runpensacola.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Join Chris Roney from Ace Unlocks tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Chris will be sharing his years of expertise in the field of locksmithing, talking about topics like security benefits of having your home or business locks inspected and resecured, smart locks, and even reprogramming your car's ECU computer for a lost key fob.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Sorry about that. Good morning. Houthi rebels launching a wave of attacks on southern Saudi Arabia Tuesday, wounding more than 70 people, sparking fires at oil facilities and utilities. The Houthis claiming responsibility, saying the strikes were retaliation for Saudi strikes in Yemen. The escalation threatens shipping through the Bab al-Mandeb Strait, which is another key route for global trade there. Canada's retaliatory tariffs.
Canada.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Their retaliatory tariffs on $20 billion worth of U.S. goods are now in effect. That ranges from 15 to 50% on products including steel, furniture, clothing, and electronics. The move follows the collapse of trade negotiations and escalates the 18-month trade dispute between the U.S. and Canada.
No, I think this one's for PJ. North Wisconsin.
I don't think so, buddy.
Oh, somebody said if New Mexico becomes New America, then does Albuquerque become Charlie Kirky?
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.